All right. So, weeks ago, I don't remember how long ago it was, I put out a little thing on the Joker, gave my thoughts, how some feedback on how I wasn't excited about the Joker until I heard a certain theory about the Joker, and that made me excited to see if that was true or not, which I again, based on past DC theories not ever being the case of being true, I went in it expecting it to be nothing near that theory. But I have to say, man, all in all, that movie was fucking good. Like, it's not the Joker's origin. It's a reimagining of everything. And that's the way you should look at it. That's the way you should treat it. That's the way that, even comic book readers who know about the Three Jokers theory, who know, I mean, not theory, but it's canon, Three Jokers in the comics, who know about the two books that the Joker's origin has been based on for the past 20 years, 30 years. Just look at it as like an alternate Earth, right? But I think that's I have to say that's the route that DC needs to start looking at things because, whoo, 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 whoo. So I'm not gonna do any spoilers in this one. I'm gonna try my best not to. Just because I was pissed off at the fact that Thursday, the movie came out, before Thursday was done, there were spoilers all over the place about the movie, which is just like, give people a chance. And again, it's us, the YouTube culture, the Twitch culture, the Twitter culture. Everyone wants to be the first to get the most views and to get the most. It's so stupid. And a movie like this, you really don't want actual spoilers ahead of opening weekend. It's like it's so dumb. Anyway, but yeah, the movie was good. It's very story driven. Actually, it's all story driven. It's very psychological. Do not take your kids. You're gonna mess them up. They're gonna probably be bored, to be honest. But yeah, if any of that stuff sinks in, the wrong stuff, it'd be catastrophic. And I tried actually recording an episode that I was supposed to post up before this. I held off on putting it out just because I didn't like the audio. I recorded it in my car, and true to form, you hear a lot of my car throughout most of it. And not for me, sometimes it was just overshadowing what I was saying, or over, it was drowning out what I was saying. I just scratched it. I'm gonna run with some of those ideas, break them into smaller segments, and put them out there. Just re-record them. So you might see them up around the same time this is posted. Don't feel cheated or anything. I just had to go back and re-record everything to make it sound good. And since I started off with talking about the Joker in that one and how I was invited to go see the movie. I wasn't planning on going to see the movie. I was planning on seeing it once the hype died down and it was, streamable. Then I would check it out for like a buck. But yeah, worth the price of admission. They did a really good job portraying something that I talked about in that episode that I didn't get to release, which is the ideology, the true ideology of the Joker, right? Everyone thinks he's this anarchist or this just ruthless mass murderer, serial killer. I mean, he kind of is both, but that's not the main focus of the Joker. The Joker himself is chaos personified. He just does things to do things. And I think Heath Ledger's Joker kind of showed us that, but we mainly focused on the anarchy side, where it was like, well, I'm just gonna bring Gotham down to its knees. Like, that's a part of what he does, but the main thing is just no matter what origin story they have, the center focal point of it for the Joker always is what one bad day can push a person to do, right? And again, he's an extreme version of it. And while watching the movie, because again, this is something I touched on before, which was the idea that people were trying to push to get the movie taken out of theaters, not shown, not released, that type of thing. And I mentioned in that one that when I first heard that, I thought that was insane. I thought that was just the dumbest thing ever. Like, you can't keep blaming art for the individuals who take it differently, right? You can't blame music for someone else doing something crazy stupid, especially when you go back and then listen to that music 10, 20, 30 years later and find out it's not saying that at all. You know, we can't take into account how people take things. Art is subjective, and it's something that they brought up in the movie, you know? Art, comedy, they're both subjective. And so I thought that whole thing was a little bit extreme, right? As far as like, take it out the theaters, we're gonna have another incident. In my head, that was a one-off, right? That was a one-off. Anything after that isn't the movie, it's just copycats of the scenario. It could be any movie that they can say inspired them to do that, right? And I'm not trying to be insensitive at all to the situations, but you know, I'm a part of the culture that gets blamed. You know what I mean? The comic books used to get blamed. Music still gets blamed. Movies get blamed. Books get blamed. Video games are like the first thing ever on everyone's list for anything. So it was just like another jab to me at my culture, which was weird. But like I said in the other video or the other session, I had a discussion on one of my breaks with JR about it, and he brought up a really good point that opened up my eyes because I could only see it from, again, my perspective of this constant being on the target end, right? But for the Joker, it is a little bit different because that character has such relatability, right? And if you do know the true origin stories from the comic books, you know. Any one of us could put ourselves in those shoes, right? And one of the original stories is the Killing Joke, right? If you haven't seen it, it's out. There's the animated version. It's a little cringy at one point, but it makes a whole lot of sense, and it sets up a lot, right? It's easy to understand. You can see it. The Joker's entire point of being is brought up in that movie. There's the comic book that goes with it. But essentially, he was a failed comedian, very smart man. He just really wanted to tell comedy, right? We all do jobs, not all of us, but a lot of us do jobs that we aren't good at, but we don't like, right? And there are things that we want to do, we might not necessarily be good at, right? It's like the guy who quits his Wall Street job that he's clearly excelling at to go start a band, a polka band or something like that, that doesn't really make as much money, and then you come to find out the guy doesn't even know how to play an instrument or carry a tune, right? How many people do you know are pushing some type of career that you don't want to tell them they just have no skill at, or they're not that good at, or it's time to hang it up. You've been at it too long. Hell, there are things that I probably should quit at or shouldn't think about professionally, right? But I would love to do. That's the scenario that Arthur was in. Except, well, not Arthur, Jesus. Joker was in. Joker has no name, by the way, in the comics. You never know his identity, ever. He's a nameless man. Just know he is from Gotham. He did work for the Ace Chemical Plant, the same plant that he fell into the chemical vats and got his skin changed. That happened. Batman is the one who created him, right? Accidentally. But in The Killing Joke, you see that he had a wife who loved and supported him, right? So he would go to the comedy club every day, every single week. He would be there and he'd bomb every single time. Not one laugh, ever. And she'd always support him and tell him next time. The next one, that's the one that's gonna stick. No matter what, she was always there. And then eventually, he's approached by essentially the mob, but they weren't the mob. They're part of the Red Hood gang. And they wanted him, because of his connections to the Ace Chemical Plant, to open up the plant to them. Just let them in. That's it. They pay him a crazy amount of money, and they kept using, well, it's seed money for your stand-up act. Now you can take it on the road. Oh, it'd be good for your wife. You want to quit your job, right? So he kept trying to get in his head, and he kept telling him, no. No, I haven't sunk that low yet. I have too much to lose. Then one day, he right after his wife telling him again, keep going with it. One day he's at the club, bombs terribly, worse than ever. Goes out to the bar afterwards. Same two mafia guys approach him again. Hey, come on, let's do this job. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Cops come in. Everyone pauses. They walk up to him. They say, hey, I got bad news for you. He goes, well, what happened? And everyone's thinking they found out about the job or something like that. They say, your wife, she was in a car accident, and her and your unborn child, they died. And it's just his entire world sinks, right? Because here he is, worst set of his life, thinking about quitting on his dreams, loses his family in one strike, one swipe. So the mafia guys, they push forward, right? They tell him now, well, now you got nothing to lose. Do the job. He's grieving. He's not thinking clearly. So he does it. He lets him in. They dress him up like the Red Hood. Batman comes in. Everyone bails. He goes after Joker because Joker runs, thinking, well, there's the Red Hood. Got him. And as you know, doesn't turn out well. He ends up tripping on his own cape, falling into that chemical solution, gets washed out with the bath. Once he gets out into the river and he gets out the water, he looks back and sees his reflection, and there he is, changed forever. And he starts laughing hysterically. And he says to himself, I finally get it. I finally get the joke. And that's essentially how the Joker starts up, right? In the comics, that's one of his two origins, possible origin stories. They took bits and pieces from it for the movie, but the main thing is they gathered the essence of what that tells. That whole having a bad day. It wasn't just one bad day, right? It's a buildup of bad days, but that one, just that one, pushed him over the edge. And that's what the Joker tries to do to everyone, right? One of the greatest Batman the Animated Adventure episodes ever was when the Joker was blackmailing this one guy. And he just would not stop ruining this guy's life. 'Cause it's up. I helped you out. You owe me a favor, right? 'Cause he was trying to push him to become him. There's the famous is it the last episode? It's one of the later episodes for, I think, Batman and Superman, or it's the setup for the Joker's return in Batman Beyond. I think that's what it was. It's a movie. It's where Joker comes back, but it's not his official return to Gotham, air quotes. Essentially, the Joker came back, and Bruce was retelling the story of how it's impossible for the Joker to be around because Joker got Tim Drake. And unlike when he got Jason, which for Jason, he was using Jason to give Batman a bad day. And as we all know, Jason Todd got killed. And actually, if you watch that movie, not to be all manic and all over the place, but if you watch that movie, was it Batman versus Red Hood, or it's the Red Hood one. If you watch that and look at how the Joker was in that movie, that's who Joaquin Phoenix reminds me of as far as a Joker. So that's a good idea to check that out if you're unsure. But that's the attitude that once he gets in that mind state, he kind of, to me, he reminds me of that Joker. But yeah, Jason Todd he was using to try and give Batman a bad day. Barbara Gordon paralyzing her, he was trying to give Jim Gordon a bad day, which he goes after Jim a lot. Like a lot. He killed two of his wives. He phew. Paralyzed his adopted daughter. Yeah, Barbara's adopted. There's a lot that Joker has done to Jim. It's terrible, actually. But then with Tim Drake for the Batman Beyond thing, he kidnapped him. He tried all types of gene manipulation on him. He tortured him relentlessly. The idea was that he was going to break Tim and turn him into a mini Joker. Because Batman had his sidekicks all these years, he wants a little sidekick too. And he did. He broke Tim. Broke him to the point where, Tim was attacking even Batman, and there was a point where Joker had him. Joker had Batman beaten. Like, truly beaten. Everything, like, there was no coming back from that. There was no win. You know what I mean? Tim was on his side. Everything was working out. And then he told Tim to do it. And he was pushing him to kill Batman. And Tim Drake just starts laughing maniacally. And he keeps laughing and he keeps laughing and he keeps laughing. And similar to, as you've seen in the trailer for the Joker movie, he's laughing and crying. Right? He's just, it's both of it. It's just coming down, and he turns around and he pulls the trigger on the gun. And of course, it's one of those joke guns with the bang. And Joker starts laying in on him, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you pointing that at me? Kill Batman. And then Tim pulls the trigger and kills the Joker. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. That's a good movie to watch too. But of course, then years later, all that manipulation and torture and trauma, Tim ended up making a Joker personality in his head and essentially becomes the Joker 2.0. But yeah, that's what his character does. His character isn't just about instilling the chaos. His character is about turning everyone into him, giving everyone that one bad day and pushing them over that edge. Perfect example, Harley Quinzel. She was the in the DC Universe, she was the best psychoanalyst out there. She's a great psychiatrist, but Joker got in her head. He got into her head and made her take that leap out of sanity, right? Another good story to watch or to read to pick up on those vibes, Gotham, White Knight. Crazy reimagining of Gotham and the Joker and Batman story. Phenomenal. And it's still going on right now. Take a look at that. but to bring it back to the movie, they did a good job at showcasing that. A really good job at showcasing that. And I have to admit, there's a point where I was sitting in there, and I'm like, I can see exactly where those who were frightened about something happening because of this movie, especially, of course, true to form, the various different threats and the FBI monitoring things and police monitoring different theaters and this, that, and the third, which is good. It's good that, we're aware of what could happen and planning to stop things from happening. I mean, there's that girl who got arrested recently. She's in Florida, and she was stockpiling, I think, BB guns, rifles, and pipe bombs. Yeah, I don't know what her plans are. No one knows what her plans were with all of that. She just wanted to hurt people, but that's the world we live in. So it's good that we're being preemptively cautious about everything, anything, and that even her own parents turn her in that scenario. But yeah, I remember just sitting there and feeling it, like this this moment right here, this is what the wrong, if someone focuses on this wrong moment, this is what could cause a problem. 'Cause this is how the Joker is infectious, right? 'Cause it's just a seed, it's just an idea. He's no different than Batman. Batman is a seed, an idea of what could be, that people can identify with. It's not the right thing, right? He's not a cop. He's a criminal. Both of them are. But yeah, it really, I felt it for like just a second. And the good thing too, though, was there was also around that moment, both beginning or before it and after it, there was a sense of a message, right? Like, yo, this is what we need to be looking out for. This is what we as a society need to do better because we've been failing each other. Which is, it's what I've been talking about, right? For a long time. If you're gonna make a superhero movie, make a good movie that just so happens to feature characters from a comic book. And I've been saying it leading up to this movie is that's what I hope it would have been. And they delivered on that. It is a really good movie that just so happens to feature DC themes and characters and settings. That's it. The crazy thing about it is the message, right? There's a very, very deep message in there, and it's the same vibe that I got from The Dark Knight that no DC movie has given me since The Dark Knight. There's just that. And again, it happens specifically with Joker. He's one of those characters where if you do him right, there's always a message involved. Same with Batman, if you do him right, there's a message there all the time. And I'm hoping they can implement that vibe into the next Batman film that they're putting out with Robert Pattinson. Who, by the way, I read something the other day where he was saying that he still doesn't understand how he got chosen for the Batman role. So I'm starting to like this guy. I'm starting to warm up to him. But yeah, I'm hoping that that movie has some of that those elements, that conflict, right? Because that's what I loved about the Scott Snyder run on Batman. That's what I love about how it tied into Rebirth and how Rebirth even just starts with Batman trying to find a way out of being Batman. 'Cause it's flawed. He realizes it. Like, it was a stupid idea, and now he's stuck, and there's no way out. There is none. It was just something he was fixated on from the time he was a child and wouldn't listen to people who told him that. And now he's stuck. He's stuck doing it, and you keep seeing that reoccurring theme throughout this new rebirth stage in DC Comics. It's just there, man. He's just constantly confronted by it. One of the most amazing issues out there is the or little arcs, I should say, out there is actually it is an issue. Batman has jury duty, or Bruce Wayne has jury duty, and it's on a case covering Mr. Freeze, and of course, dealt with Batman. The jury walks in, they're like, oh, he did it, he's guilty. Bruce knows different. Bruce has a doubt about it because Bruce knows he just heard what the problem was, heard that there was a certain thing with the MO that matches Freeze, just one little tiny thing, and he just flew off the handle and went after him. 'Cause he's not thinking straight, 'cause Catwoman just left him at the altar. So he pummels Freeze, gets him locked up for a crime that he really may not have done. And so the whole issue turns into this struggle between, what's right, what's wrong, and Batman versus Gotham, right? Do you need a Batman? Was he ever right for Gotham? Did he do anything good for Gotham? Then you flash forward a little bit, and you have Bane's run where he's running Gotham. And sure enough, Gotham's actually pretty peaceful under Bane's rule. It's working. It's crazy. So I'm hoping they interject some of that into the next movie, where we're seeing that him questioning himself, not being so sure. I can handle, and because it's entertaining, right? Batman being the know-it-all, wise guy, has an answer for everything as long as there's prep time. I'm cool with that. That's his thing. But seeing him question himself and not being sure about his choices, that's a good, compelling Batman story. Not a, here's a love interest. Like, we don't need that. We need this guy who's supposed to be sure all the time being rattled. Seeing him flustered. Those are great, great moments. So I guess what I'm trying to allude to is there is hope for DC in terms of combating Marvel. However, it's not a direct battle, right? Marvel makes movies that the whole family can enjoy. They've got that entire thing locked down, and I don't think right now anyone can just come into that ring and take them on directly, right? What DC should do is instead of just putting their animated movies straight to DVD, they need to put those stories straight into the theaters, just constantly churning them out, and have those be the ones where, hey, the family can come in, because Disney's not making animated movies anymore. They're just regurgitating their old stuff and making it live action. or it's all CG. Come in there with the animated frame set. Inspire a whole new generation of kids in the theater, right? Do those crazy things that we got to see growing up in the 90s on regular television. Bring that back, but put it in the movies. And have the crew that's been doing your animated movies up till now, have them heading it. Treat it just like they always have. They're hits. There are a few of them that are the same, it's the same amount as with Marvel in their movies. So you're gonna get your family time in. But then you can tell more compelling stories and go with the rated R action, make adult shows, adult movies, much like how Joker is, where you're getting more into the psychological frame, where you're taking stories that you would get that typically aren't comic book movie stories and make them comic book movie stories, right? Show me Superman struggling with trying to be good all the time. Show me Batman struggling with trying to be right all the time. Show me the Flash struggling with not getting what he wants or doing what he wants because he had, like, you're a human with crazy wild power because the Flash, realistically, come on. He's the most powerful person in DC. I don't care what you say. He can run back and forth in time. He can become untangible or intangible, sorry. He can run at the speed of light, technically faster than it if he's running back and forth through time. The Flash is just a beast. And that's Barry Allen, who is, if you're reading the comics, he's the slowest of the Flashes. Wally West is an animal. Well, Barry can't run at the speed of light. Wally can. But you get what I'm saying. Show me the human struggles that people would have either being in those positions or give me good stories where you can relate to it as a human being on multiple levels. Right? Got all these cop dramas, like Training Day. Why isn't there something like that for superheroes? It's not always easy being good. Not everyone is a good guy that's a super, right? That's what Watchmen was trying to do. But, Zack Snyder. But yeah, tell me those stories. Go deeper into it. They just need an adult centered structure for their live action movies, but it doesn't have to be just dark. Joker's not dark, it's just dark because of the subject matter. They used a lot of different color variations. Because if you look, he's the brightest thing in there, according with accordance to the story. And play with the time frames. I love the fact that that movie is set in the 80s. It fucking works. Marvel's got the technically near future already covered. Let them have that. Work in the past time frame. Do stuff new. Do stuff different. I loved how Gotham was, where again, it had that set in the 80s vibe, but you still had smartphones. mix it up. Make your own thing. It's a comic book world. Make it feel like it. But yeah, I think that's a great path to be on, and also get more of those directors who make indie films. Don't have Hollywood directors, don't have Hollywood anything associated with these movies. Get fresh eyes, fresh blood, fresh writing in there, where you're getting these gritty, more down-to-earth stories, just utilizing your comic book characters and comic book worlds, right? Because there's a vast difference between Green Lantern and the Joker movie. And I think that's something to learn from. And I don't think that companies should, stifle themselves trying to be PG-13 so they can sell more tickets. I get it. Just put out an extra movie. Yeah, it'll cost more money. But you're gonna make more money because if you make billions competing with Marvel on the family end, even if you fall a little bit short. Then you turn around and make a few less billions on a rated R product within the same year, while the same people who are taking their family to go see the family one are gonna go see the rated R one too. Get what I'm saying? Like you're still gonna make back that money, a competing amount of money too, rather than putting out failed products like Justice League, Man of Steel. Not sorry, Man of Steel is great. Justice League, Batman vs. Superman, Suicide Squad. And I was gonna save this for another episode, but I'm gonna touch on it. Margot Robbie, Birds of Prey. You can't give us something like Joker and then throw Birds of Prey out there. And I know I'm speaking too soon. It could surprise me much like the Joker did, but I take DC things. I go with the negative and I will defend them afterwards. That's how I play it because their track record, man, it just doesn't speak well. I still haven't watched Aquaman. I don't care to. Like I probably will watch it, but I feel like I'll enjoy it with the sound off, 'cause visually it's very very beautiful. I could say that from even just the trailers. Like visually it might be the most comic book movie to date. Story-wise, I have no drive to watch it. I have no drive to watch Shazam. In fact, more times than not, I forget it even exists, right? I'm so mad that this Suicide Squad, I mean, not Suicide, Birds of Prey looks like Suicide Squad Part 2. Like, it annoys me because Margot Robbie is gonna go down in history for setting the bar for Harley Quinn, right? And I say that the same way I kind of talk about the Joker, where there's animated, right? And I should have researched her name because I'm terrible at names, but the lady who originally brought us Harley Quinn, legendary. She's the first. She gave birth to that character. You know what I mean? She brought her to life, period. She defines the voice that we hear in our heads when we're reading those comic books. She's the reason why Harley even exists right now in the comic books. It's her voice acting that propelled that character, that made that character become valuable enough to become canon. All respect is always going to be due. She's the first, period. But Margot is the first live action one. She took that and brought life into it in a physical aspect that we haven't seen before. She's gonna go down in history for it, period. Regardless of how bad the overall movies were, her depiction of the character is just fucking great. And it saddens me, 'cause she deserves better. Both Harley and Margot. But I'm hoping maybe it's just the color palette and the stupid costume designs. Maybe that's just what's the same, but it's different than Suicide Squad. But I don't know. I don't know. However, again, to reiterate, DC has found something, and I hope that the right people sit down and take note of it. And I hope Birds of Prey does well, but if it doesn't do well in the same sense as the Joker, I really hope that the heads at Warner Brothers and DC's cinematic division just sit down and really look at the differences between Joker, which I feel like Joker is going to, at the end of everything, be very close to The Dark Knight in terms of not just ticket sales, but in terms of like dialogue. I feel like people are going to be talking about it just as much as they talked about The Dark Knight. Because again, they're two very important, very different takes on the superhero movie genre. They touch on some very real topics, and they have valuable lessons in them. They're just conversation starters on many different levels, and I hope that they look at that and try to figure out how do we make that a common theme. How do we let that be our image for our movies and not Justice League? But let me know. I'm gonna post this up actually right now since I don't have anything to edit out of it. And I do apologize if you heard my neighbor's washing machine. Gotta roll with what I got for now. But yeah, let me know. Have you watched it? What's your take on it? What's your feedback on it? Am I right? Should this be what DC is pushing to put out? Like, should we get more of this? Do we need a rated R comic book universe? I think so. I think so. I definitely think so. And rated R doesn't just have to be gratuitous violence or anything like that, because there really isn't any of that in the Joker movie. Spoiler alert. I mean, it's. But go out and watch it and let me know what you think. As always, like, subscribe, yada, yada, yada. You know the deal. See you on the next one. All right, hey guys, sorry. So the audio on what I just recorded earlier kind of sucks. I had the mic positioned way too wrong, and I was pacing back and forth. I was excited. Just watched the movie. Fucking loved it. You got to hear about it if you got this far. But I just wanted to apologize for the audio. I know I referenced in there a lot about a previous episode that I recorded but didn't publish because the audio sounds like horseshit. But after consideration, while I was editing everything, I decided I'm just going to throw it on to the ending of this. So if you're hearing this and you want to hear what I recorded earlier in the week and didn't post up, it's here for you. If you don't listen, that's cool. I know I droned on, and some of it was mentioned inside of the other portion of this video, the portion that you've already heard. This is just here for your consideration. So without further ado. Oh, right. It is coming up on 8:30 in the morning. I'm heading into work. Have to do this one, that guy JR style, which I am apologizing right now because you're gonna hear a lot of my car. But I've been trying to record this episode for a couple days now, and it just hasn't been working out in my usual quiet areas. So, yeah, this episode's gonna be a hodgepodge of just some things that I've been looking into for the week. Not so much gaming, although, you know, that finds its way into everything. A lot of movie information. Dialogue, conversation, specifically the Joker. It's coming out today, I believe, which is Wednesday. Thursday. Today's Thursday. Jeez. Yeah, it definitely comes out today. So I'm gonna touch on that. I'm gonna touch on the Birds of Prey trailer. I'm gonna touch for a split second on maybe on some other DC entities like that Crisis event. Ugh. I will touch on the whole Spider-Man thing and just some MCU rumors that are heading around. Yeah. But more or less, it's gonna be a deeper conversation than just those movies. But those are like some major talking points, so if any of that sounds like it's gonna scare you away, there might be some spoilers for things adjacent to it or to them. So,
that's your only warning, because I suck at spoiler alerts. So, here you go. yeah, so starting with Joker. Like I said, comes out today. A lot of people are probably going to go watch it. And a lot of people already know about the, air quotes, controversy surrounding the movie. Part of the reason why it was taking me so long to record this episode is because I wasn't sure if I was going to touch on that or not. Like, you know, we don't do politics and other things of that nature on our podcast, but, yeah, at the end of the day, not touching on it kind of does a disservice to everyone, right? Because I know when I first heard about it and the concern, I kind of dismissed it because it felt like the usual blaming art for society's issues as like the driving source behind it. And I dismissed it as just that. But I did have a discussion with JR, and he brought up a different perspective that I didn't, again, because I dismissed it so quickly, I didn't consider, which is the fact of the Joker's ideology is a little bit contagious, which makes sense, right? But at the same time, it's often misunderstood. And I think that kind of gave me a little bit more hope for the movie itself because of what it's based off of. Like in the last video, the last episode where I talked about the Joker specifically, I did mention that it is heavily influenced by a Scorsese film, The Comedian, I believe it's called. And with the subject matter that it touches on, excuse me, the main concern, right, it's mental health, and if that's going to be the case with the Joker, that's the heavy influence, if it's the spiritual successor or almost like a reboot or a remake, just using, you know, DC properties, then I think that's going to help, because a lot of people picture the Joker as this anarchist, which he's really kind of not. I mean, and I guess that's where the whole three Jokers pillar thing kind of plays into it, but for the most part, he's not. He's just madness personified. And that in itself is kind of infectious, right? I mean, we've seen that within the Nolanverse, right? In the first Batman, Batman Begins. When that fear toxin was spreading, you know, that madness overtook the city like a plague within minutes, right? And, funny thing about that, like I was thinking more about that again when I was sitting down trying to flesh out what it was that I was going to say when talking about this subject, and oh man, we kind of know the origin without knowing the identity of the Joker in the Nolanverse, right? It's safe to assume he was a, you know, Gordon said he was a thief, a two-bit thief had a flair for the theatrical, right? And he only started popping up really after Batman kind of came to the surface. So it's safe to say, like, if you're stealing, the Narrows is the place to do, like, the Narrows is just full of crime in Gotham. So you had to have been in there. So if he was in there and he got hit with that toxin, his madness is is still kind of a byproduct of Batman in itself, the same way him falling into the chemical vat in the true origin plays a part, which is pretty cool. And again, that's just me overthinking and doing my little nerd nuggets. But yeah, I mean, it's something to consider, something to think about. And if we're really trying to push to avoid situations like what happened, you know, at the Dark Knight years ago, we need to be pushing for mental health awareness, not just for those who might be going through something, but for those who are around other people. Like, you should know what to look for. You should know what some warning signs are. You should know how to be a good person in general, too. Because, again, the whole premise of the Joker, and it's kind of showcased in all the trailers for this Joker movie as well, everybody has one bad day, right? And all it takes is one bad day to turn a good person into something they're not or haven't been. So something as simple as sitting with someone who's looks like they've had a rough day and just hearing them out. Like, is that so hard to do? You know? Those are those little things that help. So while I don't condone blaming a movie for society's problems, and I get it, I get the reaction that, again, it might incite the wrong thing because people take things differently, right? They fixate on wild things, and we can see that with the fact that being a Jedi is a religion in our modern day world, right? There are people who will put on resumes that they speak Dothraki or Klingon. You know, we live in interesting times. So, I understand it, but, yeah, instead of just pointing fingers, maybe we should just try to be good people. So that's my PSA for this episode. But to continue with the Joker, I do find it interesting, very interesting, you know, what the director said. Right, where it's like there are tons of movies that it's nothing but violence or nothing but action or whatever the case may be, and nothing happens, right? Then there are movies where people just take it and run with it. I mean, technically speaking, like the Fast and Furious, but no one's up in arms about the potential of some kid watching those movies and going nuts. I mean, that potential is quelled now that the Fast and Furious movies are action movies that just feature nice cars. Like, they're not about racing at all. So, but it's just interesting making that parallel because, again, it goes back to exactly my thought of early dismissal of the issue. But him getting stomped down immediately because he mentioned a specific franchise, John Wick, is pretty funny. I mean, it's a movie, like, there's no reason to get butthurt. He was just making an observation and a point. If you don't agree, just say I don't agree and leave it at that. I mean, or why patrol the internet and go crazy with it? The point wasn't for the fans of John Wick. The point was for the people who would try and, you know, remove the Joker movie. Because, again, if they're successful in saying, don't play this movie, then your John Wick 4 is also liable to be under the same scrutiny. And so on and so forth, right? So, again, just something to think about. Round out most of this Joker talk. I will be going to see it this weekend. I'm going on Sunday to watch it. I'm really hoping that it lives up to the hype that's around it from people who have actually seen it, because I don't listen to the people who haven't watched it yet, just because people grasp onto weird things, or it's like, oh, it's the Joker, so it has to be good because Heath Ledger's Joker was good. And that's not the case, right? it's not the case at all, or people saying it has to be good because Joaquin Phoenix is in it. And that leads into a little bit of something that I've been thinking about, which is, and I've said it more than once. In fact, I believe I said it a lot in the two videos we did way back when about Batman versus Superman, right? We have to stop pinning everything on actors. Their job is to bring the director and writer's vision of a character to life as the director and the writer have envisioned it. Yeah, there are some people that go above and beyond, right? Robert Downey Jr. injected himself into Iron Man because a lot of the stuff that we got on film that we liked was unscripted things that weren't supposed to be in the film. And that's what separates him, right? You know, Michael Keaton, he showcased some of his skill, which, again, we've seen in movies that follow in the movie because he had the opportunity to, right? You know, it's just, you can only, you don't write the script as an actor. You don't judge the shots. You don't judge the composure of anything. All you're doing is getting into the mind state of what they tell you the character is and portraying that. And once again, I can't believe I'm doing this. Ben Affleck, bad rap. I don't hold him accountable for Daredevil. I hold the writers and directors accountable for Daredevil. Still don't see him as a superhero type at all. And those who would want to fight me over that because of how he looked in Justice League and Batman versus Superman, I get it. He looks like an iteration of comic book Batman. But guess what, folks? That's what the costume designers were going for. Right? Like, when he's in a suit, he just looks like Ben Affleck in a suit to me. He doesn't look like Batman. He doesn't look like this billionaire kid who knows everything in the world. Doesn't exude it for me. Not to say he's not a good actor. I've seen movies where he's been great. Hell, I like a lot of the work that he's done with Kevin Smith. Stupid stuff, but great, right? Doesn't mean to say that he's a good fit for a superhero movie, right? And again, a lot of the stuff that you like and remember, that's CG stuff that's literally either taken from the comic books or the animated adventures, the animated series, like movie series, or it's taken from the Arkham games. Like, go back and really watch that stuff and then go and look at some of those other properties and you're going to see a lot of similarities between those scenes that you really like so much as far as the action. And again, most of it was not Ben Affleck. It was CG, you know? And it's no knock to Affleck. It's no knock even to the writer and director at that point. It's memorable. Kudos to them. They did that portion right, right? But as far as my mentioning the writers and directors, we need to start holding them more accountable, right? In the comic book world, you know, great writers stand out. You remember them. And you go out and buy the book because of the writer. Not necessarily because it's a Batman book. I get excited whenever I talk about Scott Snyder's run on Batman. It blew me away. It's not the greatest. I just love the continuity of it. It all formed together. It, like how the Justice League and all the DC movies told one large overarching story by telling smaller stories that connected together. This is something that Marvel's been practicing and perfecting over the years. Is it 100% perfect? No. And I don't want people to get that idea in their heads, like, oh, Marvel has it perfect. I'm pretty sure they're going to mess up somewhere along the lines because, let's be real. On a scale of greatness and flops, yes, Captain Marvel sold a lot, but nobody really cares about Captain Marvel MCU-wise. Like, I've talked to a lot of people about it and mentioned it. Hell, there was the fact that even Marvel themselves, the reason why they needed Spider-Man back wasn't just because Spider-Man belongs with the MCU, right? He's the flagship character for Marvel, to be honest. It wasn't even any of that. It's strictly, mostly because the plan was to use Spider-Man, Peter Parker, to help get fans more attached to Captain Marvel, because no one had that attachment. In fact, most people who liked the Captain Marvel movie liked the supporting cast, and not so much Captain Marvel herself. Like, it just, it didn't work. And that happens. It's okay that that happens if you're going to look at what failed and try to implement something to correct it. And that's where Marvel shines. They don't have everything 100%. They don't. But they're willing to look at what's there and fix it. They're willing to figure out, how can I connect this character to someone of interest? How can I tell their specific story as an individual, but connected to the greater MCU landscape? DC's not doing that, right? And it saddened me a little bit when I saw the trailer for Birds of Prey, and it looked like Suicide Squad 2, because I don't want to associate that movie with Suicide Squad. I want to give it a fair shot. I think Margot Robbie is going to go down. Actually, she is going down in history for that character, regardless of how bad the movies that she's in are. And that's, again, not her fault, and I don't even have to say that. It's evident. It is evident, right? Yeah, it's evident that, you know, she did her thing, because whenever anyone talks about Suicide Squad, there's only two names ever mentioned: Will Smith, Margot Robbie. She did her thing, right? And it's amazing, because a lot of people don't know or understand that the character of Harley Quinn was only created in the 90s, right? She was originally supposed to be, much like the Joker, a one-off in her creation. Like, she wasn't supposed to be a staple character. She wasn't made in the comic books. She was brought into comic book continuity. She was made specifically for Batman the Animated Adventures. And the actress who plays her character, and I do apologize, I don't remember her name. I'm terrible with names in general. But she's held in such high regards and high esteem for her portrayal of the character. She brought life into that character. She gave us the voice of Harley, right? And it's amazing. Like, I was talking to a friend about this. She did all of that with just her voice, right? We can instantly picture Harley mannerisms. Yes, you know, we had the animation to follow it, but even without it, you can picture this high energy, manic person that is Harley, with that certain sound. And you know what I mean? Like, she brought life into that character, and Margot took that and ran with it. And it's beautiful. It just, again, it sucks that she's not going to get a chance to shine as bright as she could by having a proper movie, a better theme. And that's not to say that I can't, you know, that Birds of Prey doesn't have a chance of being great or doing well. I know it's gonna sell. It might not do crazy, crazy numbers. It's gonna sell, though. I mean, it's Harley Quinn. There are very few female characters in comics that are as popular as Harley. Right? Even Wonder Woman herself. And I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for that, but go to Comic-Con. Go to any comic convention. There is a horde of Harleys. And it's always been that way, even before the Suicide Squad movies. It's just a thing. So, again, it's not, and I know I'm getting a little repetitive. It's the driving. But yeah, I wish she had a better opportunity to shine, because that's one of those rare instances where, yes, the actor outweighs the writer and director. The Suicide Squad sucked. And she still shone through as, again, bringing life into that character and just being fucking awesome. And I'll put it out there. I like Gal Gadot, but Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, much better character overall. I said it. Fight me. But yeah, we need to start holding the directors and writers a little bit more accountable, and we need to stop injecting our little fanboy nonsense into things, right? And what I mean by that is, again, going back to the Ben Affleck thing, where everyone's like, "Oh, Affleck was the greatest Batman." He's not even close. Like, on a scale of Clooney's Batman, which I need to do an episode talking about something that was kind of brought to my attention. But on a scale of things, like Affleck's Batman is just, it's nothing special. Like, it's nothing special. And again, it's no fault of his own. He wasn't written to do anything. And I'm actually a little sad that he never got the opportunity to write and direct that movie that he was going to star in, because we would have actually yet to seen, we would have gotten a chance to see, you know, was he actually a good fit? Was it just the writers and directors, right? We'll never know now. But that into consideration, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with this next Batman movie. Curious. Like, yes. I didn't see it at first, and I still don't kind of see it, but that's not me, right? That's not my job. I don't have an eye for pulling talent and seeing this and that. I mean, let's be real. A different haircut could mean the different world of someone looking like a character or whatever the case may be, right? But as far as skill, I haven't watched anything with Robert Pattinson since the stupid Twilight movies I got stuck watching because of an ex. Like, I haven't seen anything after that because of those movies, and I get it. That is his, like, he says it himself all the time from what I read. He wished he never did those movies, because it overshadows everything else he's done. And I've heard he's pretty good as an actor, within all the indie stuff that he's been doing since then. Maybe I might try and watch at least one of those films a little closer to whenever that Batman movie comes out. Probably won't, but eh. I am interested, though, because it's going to be based off The Long Halloween, which, for those of you who've never read The Long Halloween, shame on you. At least take a look at the art style. It's crazy. It's it's wild. But if you want to get a good glimpse of what The Long Halloween is like without reading The Long Halloween, go back and play Arkham 1. Go play Batman Arkham Asylum. That's based heavily off of The Long Halloween. So, that's what you can expect. A lot of villains, Batman having to fight them all. He's supposed to be young, which I don't know if that means that he's a little bit more inexperienced. And so it's going to be a greater challenge for him. But I'm interested just in that alone. I hope. Again, director, writer, make magic happen, right? But if they can pull it off, then yes, that would be a great movie. to have just out there in general. And I heard they're casting Jonah Hill as the Penguin, which is interesting. But yeah, I'm curious to see how that one actually unfolds. Maybe not to watch it, because again, I'm still skeptical, but I'm curious to see how it's going to keep unfolding over time up until its filming.